Welcome to Money Grows on Trees.
Money does grow on trees.
A podcast full of practical, real-life money lessons that you wish you learned in school. Lloyd is a former lawyer turned lifestyle entrepreneur. In each episode, he'll be answering the tough questions around money, investing, and entrepreneurship to help you transform your money mindset and move you closer to achieving your financial goals. Now, let the class begin. Here's your host, Lloyd Ross.
All right, welcome back to the show, Money Grows on Trees podcast. My name is Lloyd Ross. This episode is titled, The Three Phases of Investing. The Three Phases of Investing. Now, if you go down the show, you'll see some cool episodes at the very beginning about the three phases of financial independence and some other cool things, but this is not that. This is about the three phases of I should even rename it the three seasons of investing. It's fascinating, but it doesn't apply to every single human, but it does apply to most. I would say like 99% of people this applies to. And potentially including me, okay? I'll explain as I go through this, but I wanted to impart this to you because it will help you with your investing journey. And a lot of people tune into the show to get help around that area. So I can't provide any recommendations or give any advice, of course, nor do I want to, but I can kind of explain these philosophies and principles to you to help you stay on the right track and not make terrible mistakes when it comes to deploying your money, multiplying it, and investing, which is what the whole idea of investing is, to multiply money. So, when I learned this, I was like, so fascinating. And I'm in the battle of this myself. So I'm going to share this with you on the show. And if, by the way, you're enjoying the show, please share it. We don't do any ads. Share this to your Instagram. Leave us a 5-star review. Thanks to those who have. And check out the show notes below as well. So phase one is when you start and you don't know anything about investing. And you learn. Hopefully you learn, some people don't, but hopefully you learn, you come across the right trainer, the right education, and you learn that because you know nothing, you should probably fully diversify when it comes to stocks and investing in stocks and just buy a broad-based Western market index fund. So an index fund in the United States, in Australia, perhaps in Europe, you know, somewhere there was a Western developed market, okay? Obviously, United States is the biggest market in the world and the most liquid and you know, the most popular and so forth and the best companies. So it makes a lot of sense. But phase one is when you know you don't know anything, you go and buy an index fund or an ETF, right? An exchange traded fund. And what's fascinating about that is that statistically, an index fund that you dollar cost average into over time will outperform 90% of professional money managers because picking stocks is hard and beating the market year in, year out is hard. Yes, you can do it 1 year, but can you do it consistently every year? It's very hard, which is why people like Warren Buffett are such special people because, you know, it's not just Warren Buffett, it's Li Lu, it's Charlie Munger, it's, you know, David Tepper, Bill Ackman, you know, these type of people, you know. It is so challenging. The intellectual, it's an emotional, intellectual challenge because you have to be so in tune with everything to do it. Plus, you have to have the know-how. And so when you're starting out, phase one is you don't know anything about investing. So what you do is you go and grab an index fund, which means you're fully diversified, you don't have to pick stocks, and you're going to outperform 90% of the professionals anyway, right? So why not just do that? And you do, and that's what happens. So you do it because you're a beginner, and that's a wonderfully smart, intelligent idea. In fact, Warren Buffett has said this many times at the Berkshire Hathaway meeting, multiple times on the news channel. You can YouTube this and see this. He has told people time and time again, if he was starting out and he didn't know anything, he doesn't want to be a professional with it, didn't want to start a business in it, he would just pick an index fund. He even tells you which one, and he tells you with which fund manager. In fact, in his letter to his wife, Astrid, when he dies, he explains, put 90% of your funds into an index fund. So he knows that it's hard to pick stocks. This is the best stock picker of all time. And so he says, hey, phase one, put your money into an index fund. You'll outperform most of the professionals anyway. You'll compound your money. You'll become very powerful. In fact, he even goes on to say, if you had have put $1 million into the S&P 500 index fund in the 40s, if it existed back then, in the 40s or 50s when he started investing, it would be worth over $1 billion today. Yes, a billion with a B. Think about that. Just by investing passively and sitting on your butt and doing nothing. Now, no one's to say that's going to repeat over the next 50, 60, 70 years, but there's a high likelihood it will because America is kind of tuned up like that to produce the best companies on the planet. And so there's a chance that that will happen. And so he says, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, invest in an index fund, right? So that's phase one. Now, here's what happens. When you go through phase one and you start getting results, you also start, if you continue the learning journey, of course, like what happened to me, and I picked up books like The Snowball and then The Intelligent Investor. I did my CFA charter up to level three. I'm going to do the level three exam to get my full CFA certification. But I really threw myself in this area because I loved learning about the intellectual stimulation I got from understanding how to buy businesses for cheap on the stock market. I was just completely enthralled by it. I fell in love with it. And instantly I was like, I want to buy stocks. I want to assess and analyze companies, understand how they make money. I want to buy them when they're undervalued. I want to test myself emotionally and intellectually in this space. And so I read every single investment book you get my hands on. I still do. I recently read a wonderful book called What I Learned About Investing from Darwin. But I'll rip through investing books. I'm reading The Snowball for the fourth time. I've read The Intel Investor three or four times. And I'm really a student of it. So I loved it. And for that, I moved to phase two, which is where you get some knowledge and you start picking stocks. Now, it's so hard to beat the market when you do that, that you get to this experience where I feel, you know, where I'm at, where I've picked stocks and I've done pretty well, actually. I've really not lost money. I think I've had a position where I locked in a loss of $60,000 once, but the amount of money I've made picking stocks, I'm barely good at it. But I've only been able to beat the market, you know, a handful of times. And so for a year, currently beating the market at the moment, I'm beating the market by 6%, 6 basis points or 6% at the moment. So I think the market's returned about 5.5% for the year to date. And I think I'm up 11% year to date. What's it now? April. So I'm beating the market this year, and I would anticipate that I can beat the market this year, maybe next year. But, you know, like, it's hard and it takes time and it's challenging, and you've got to read company reports. You've got to take swings. You've got to position your capital accordingly. You've got to run your portfolio, because I run a very diversified portfolio, because it's one of the few ways you can beat the market consistently is to have only like 3 or 4 stocks. But it's also, it lends itself to your risk profile. Do you know what you're doing? Because if you don't, you should be fully diversified, of course. And so I'm in phase two, and a lot of people go to phase two. They want to pick stocks. They also get interested in it. But you have to understand too your limitations and your circle of competence and understand, well, if I don't have 70 hours to commit to picking stocks and understanding it like Warren Buffett, who's to say I can do it like him? And we're running 4 businesses and 4 companies. And so it's like I have, my time is committed elsewhere to running those companies, plus running our share portfolio. So of course I'm limited by time, so I can't do the due diligence that some of those super investors can do. But I know that. Like, I know that I'm incompetent in areas where I'm lacking this advantage here or there, totally. But because I'm working with smaller sums, I have an advantage there too. And I don't have any fund holders, partners that I have to talk to and dictate what I'm doing with the money. I don't have any of that. So in that sense, I probably have some advantages, and potentially I can beat the market, right? So I'm playing the game because I like to play the game. So I'm in phase two, where I'm like, I've got the knowledge and I can pick stocks and I'm relatively good at it, okay, as far as I can see. And there are people out there way better than me, but I'm just saying. So I'm at this position where I'm like, okay, well, I'm in phase two. So what's phase three? Phase three is where you realize you are not good as you need to be. And you, after phase two of trying it for 5 or 6 years, you haven't beat the market. And then you just resign yourself to the fact that you should have just bought an index fund and just sat on your butt. And so that's phase three, where you know you're consciously incompetent in that area. And you go, you know what? I can't do that effectively with the time and resources I have. So I'm just going to buy an index fund in phase three, and I'm just going to be okay with that, be on my merry way, and outperform 90% of the professional money managers in the world and compound my money at an extremely amazing rate, safely, effectively, and passively, which is unbelievable. It's one of the few things, investing like that is one of the few things where the less you do, the better you do. Where most things in the world, the like, you've got to focus on it and get better at it. And sure, that's like everything, but not investing. It's weird. That's why people, when they learn it, they go, no, surely it can't be this simple. You're telling me I can just put my money into an index fund and beat 90% of the professionals? Yes. No, I must be more complicated. And of course, we go out and we complicate it because we go to phase two. But, you know, it is simple. And so I'm, you know, phase three is like, okay, I can't do it. I'm going to put my money in index fund and just compound it. Great. That's a smart thing. That's so intelligent. It's very wise. So I joke around to my friends and to my students. I say, hey, you know, I'm at phase 2.5 right now in my journey, where I've got this challenge where I'm like, well, if I can't beat the market, fairly consistently over the next 3 out of 5 years, and I'm happy with that, then I may just roll over to indexing. Okay. And so that's my game. That's my decision to make. But you know what? If I got to the end of my life and I didn't beat the market, but I got a pretty reasonable return and I enjoyed myself because I liked the game, in fact, I love the game, then I'm willing to pay that tax. I'm willing to pay the tax if I didn't beat the market consistently, which is quite a big number. It's a big tax because I enjoyed the game. Now, I'm prepared to have that conversation with myself. And if I go there, if I stay there because I love the game and I'm pretty open, if I was just making horrible mistakes and I was no good at it, then of course I'd go to phase three. It would make a lot of sense. But I like it. I enjoy it. I'm relatively good at it. And so I'm phase two. I'm 2.5 because I'm on the precipice because I'm giving myself a time zone, a time frame. But if you're not that, then you can kick ass in phase one and you can kick ass in phase three. You just have to decide. And it's incredible that you can do that, right? You don't have to be this pro, work hard at it, and you can beat me. You can beat Warren. Like you can, if you, some years you'll beat Warren Buffett, okay? He's got a very hard job to take, you know, what is it, $800 billion in market cap for Berkshire Hathaway and deploy that capital into areas where it can outperform the S&P 500. That's a very, very, very tough job. In fact, he has the toughest job in the investing world because of that. But he's also made, turned Berkshire into the sixth largest company in the world, I think. And it's actually the largest company by tangible assets in the world. So it's incredible, right? And if you want to read about Warren and how he got there and did that, again, I told you I'm reading The Snowball, which is his biography by Alice Schroeder for the fourth time. I love that book. It must be one of my favorite books. I just love it. So look, they're the three phases of investing. I hope that makes sense to you. And I hope this episode's given you something to think about as to in terms of where you sit. And if you're like me, then, you know, Godspeed. So if you've enjoyed the this, please share it. But of course, I look forward to speaking with you on the next episode of Money Grows on Trees podcast.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Money Grows on Trees podcast. If you like the show, you might want to check out our book, Money Grows on Trees, which you can find at LloydJRoss.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, leave a review, and feel free to reach out to Lloyd on Instagram at LloydJamesRoss.